Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
All right, so this morning I want to talk to you on the topic of image is everything. You know, we live in a society and a culture where it's dominated by image. We have to have the coolest new shoes, the awesome brand name clothing. We always want to be the one driving the nice new car. We want to be the ones in the beautiful home. It's all about image. Image is everything. And since I'm a youth pastor and I'd like to have some fun this morning, we're going to play a little bit of a game. A game this morning. So don't be afraid to have some fun. On the screen, there are going to be some logos and some images are going to come up. So when the image comes up on the screen, you just shout out from where you are with the brand name of that image or that logo. Okay? All right, so here we go. Let's go ahead with that first one. What's this? Nike, perfect. All right. This Jordan, and they're going to get harder as they go on, just to warn you. They're going to get harder. Indians, all right. Okay. Spotify, good. Yeah, there we go. Oh, there we go. Getting a little slower. Oh, that was good. Oh, I heard it over here. Yeah. Corvette. Good work. BP, good. Anybody know this one? What was it? I heard it right here. Texas Instrument. There we go. All right. Awesome. That was fun, wasn't it? Okay. If you're in business, then you know that image is important. Branding is important. Logo is important. How many of you, I know I would pay a little bit extra money to have the Nike swoosh on my shoe, right? Because I know that those shoes are Nikes, that they're quality. I remember when I was in middle school and I was looking for a new pair of tennis shoes off of the clearance rack, and I picked up a pair and they were Shaq shoes. They were Shaquille O'Neal shoes, okay? And I remember I wore them for like a month before they just completely fell apart. And I thought, never again am I going to get Shaq tennis shoes, right? And so from then on, I've been a Nike guy, and I've gotten the Nike shoes because I know that Nike, with the Nike swoosh, that image on it is important because it says how valuable the shoes are. It says that they're worth something. I'm also, I don't know if you can see this, but I'm an Apple guy, okay? I really like Apple products, all right? So I'll pretty much buy anything with the Apple image on it. I find it always amazing talking with students how much students are willing to pay for the newest shoes, okay? I don't know if you know this, but students, they love their shoes. They love their LeBrons, their Kyries, right? Their Curries, their Jordans. You guys love those shoes. And even in other countries, they use these brands and even American brands to help sell their products. When I was studying at the University of Valley Forge, I went on a missions trip to China. And while we were over there, we saw some images, okay? We ministered to deaf and blind students, teaching them English. We also spent time ministering to the elderly and the disabled while we were there. But we got a little bit of time to, you know, while we were walking around, to be tourists a little bit. And one store that we saw looked a little bit like this. I don't know if you guys have that. Would you? Yeah, looked like this. It had the Apple logo literally right next to the Samsung. Now, how many of you know that could not coexist in the same place in the States? But all they realized and all they understood was if they put these two images up there, they would draw in the customers because they know that that image contains value, that that image is worth something, that branding is worth something. When we would walk around in Kunming, China, the place where we were staying and ministering, there was a lot of street vendors too, kind of like in New York City. And I remember looking at some pair of basketball shorts, and no joke, I'm not kidding you, one leg of the shorts had the Nike swoosh on it, the other leg had the Adidas symbol on the same pair of shorts. Okay, and I'm thinking, how does this even happen, right? How does that, it doesn't work. But again, they know that those images contain value. And they're trying to draw in these customers, right, with these images. This morning, I'd like to present to you the hypothesis that image is everything. But before you write me off, I'd like to suggest that Jesus spoke a bit about image in the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, some sort of device with a Bible app on it, or you can get on your app notes, open that app up. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17 this morning. That's Mark chapter 12, 13 through 17. I'll give you just a few seconds to get there with me. We're going to read it together. Mark 12, 13 through 17. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. How many of you know that, or how many of you rather have been asked a question where no matter what you respond, it's a lose-lose answer? Right? And that's the type of question that Jesus is about to be asked here. They sent these people to try to trap Jesus in his words by asking him one of these questions. Wives are pretty good at asking these type of questions. They ask things like, does my butt look big in these pants, right? They ask things like, who's a better cook, me or your mom? Lose-lose answer. Or, is she pretty? Do you think she's pretty, right? Those are all lose-lose answers. And generally, I refuse to answer those types of questions because I know I'm not nearly as wise as Christ was when he is about to handle this type of question that he's about to be asked. Continuing to read at verse 14, it says, they came to him and said, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. They're starting to lay it on pretty thick here, right? They're buttering him up for what's about to come next. They're trying to puff him up a little bit, but Jesus is not having any of it. And then they ask the question. They ask the question, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. You see, Jesus knew what they were trying to do. He knew that if he said, no, you don't have to pay taxes to Caesar, that they would mark him as a rebel. And they would go and tell the Roman authorities that this teacher is claiming that you don't have to pay taxes. And they would have him arrested and later killed by the Romans. Which, spoiler alert, that happened anyway. Okay? But they also knew that if he said, yes, pay taxes to Caesar, that the people around would get mad at him. Because who likes to pay taxes, right? So they would become angry and they were trying to turn the people against him. But I love Jesus' response. He says, bring me a denarius. Let me look at it. And they brought him a coin. They brought him a coin. A denarius. And he said, whose portrait is on the coin? Whose inscription? I just love what Jesus does here. First, he asks for a coin. Notice he doesn't use his own, but he has them give him one. Then he holds it up. He truly is a great communicator. He's answering their question with another question, but he's also using an object lesson because who doesn't like props and objects, right? He holds up the coin. Whose image is on the coin? Whose inscription? And of course, they replied, Caesar's. And then Jesus said to them, give Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Give Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And in that one statement, Jesus is implying a question. And that question is, we know whose image is on the coin, but whose image is on you? Whose image is on you? In this one drop of the mic moment, Jesus messes up all of their preconceived notions about taxes, about images, and he destroys their plans. Everyone now take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. I'm not going to be talking about taxes, okay? But it is April, so you should probably get to work on that. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Again, I'm talking to you about image. And in this moment when Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God's what is God's, he was implying whose image is on you. If you would read Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you'll see that in the creation account, God did something very special when he created man. On the sixth day, God created man, on the sixth day of creation. Everything else that God created, he said, let there be, and there was. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be fish in the sea and birds that fly in the air, and there was. He said, let there be animals that creep and crawl amongst the ground, and there was. But on the sixth day, God did something different because he was creating man. On the sixth day, God didn't simply speak, but rather he reached down into the dirt that he had created, and he formed it. Then the Bible says that God put his own image onto that dirt. The Bible says that he breathed the breath of life into it, and it became a living being, man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Did you know that you were created in the image of God? You were created in the image of God. God saw that you were valuable enough to place his image on you. Just like the Nike shoes. Nike doesn't just place their swoosh on anything. They don't just put their image, their logo on any junk. They go through product testing and they make sure that it is of quality and valuable enough to put the image on. And God says, you are valuable enough to be an image bearer, to carry the image of God. When Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God's what is God's, he could have been saying, give to Caesar what was made in Caesar's image. The coin, the denarius. It had Caesar's image, Caesar's inscription on it. It was just a worthless piece of metal, but its value, its worth, came from the image that was imprinted upon it. Just like you and I, we gain our value, our worth, from his image placed on our hearts. We've been made in the image of God. The early church fathers, they called it the Imago Dei, the image of God in Latin. Hear me now. Image is everything. Because just like the shoes that you are wearing are valuable because of the logo on the shoe, you are valuable because of God's image upon you. We are image bearers, which means we carry his image. Now, many theologians, way smarter than me, debate over and over. They have these debates on what exactly is the image of God. And this morning, I'm not even going to go into that. Maybe if you'd like, we could go out for some coffee sometime and we can speculate and debate all we want about what that image may be. But this morning, what I'd like to suggest to you is that you are an image bearer. And because you bear the image of God, you are valuable to him. I believe that Jesus' statement to those Pharisees and Herodians on that day in Jerusalem, sometime between 25 and 30 AD, has significance for the way that we live our lives here in the United States in 2017. There are two implications from Jesus' statements. The first is all human life has intrinsic value based on the fact that all human life has been created in the image of God. And the second is that because we were created in His image, we belong to Him. You are valuable. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are valuable. I believe that God has given this message to me to speak to someone in this place who might be struggling with self-image. Someone who might be struggling with self-esteem. Know that you are valuable. Know that you are God's treasure. That you are dearly loved. That you are valuable enough that He placed His image on you. You are valuable because of the image that you carry. You have intrinsic worth. When Thomas Jefferson penned the words of our nation's Declaration of Independence from the British Empire, he wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." He was making a profound statement about the value of human life. All human life has intrinsic value based on the fact that all human life has been created in the image of God. Listen, you're valuable not because of how much you have in your bank account, not because of the car that you drive, not because of the clothes that you wear, not because of your shape, your size, not because of your intellect, not because of your talent, not because of your athletic ability, not because of your strength, not because of your courage, not because of your bravery. You are valuable because God says you're valuable. You're not valuable because of who you are. Rather, you're valuable because of whose you are. You carry the image of God. And you are valuable because He says you're valuable. This is why murder is such a terrible sin in God's eyes. Destroys the image of God. And throughout history, evil men have tried to justify murder using scientific rhetoric like we need to preserve our race. This world is about the survival of the fittest. It's only best that the best genes are passed down. But what they do not understand is that human life has value, distinct from size, physical capability, intellectual capability, or talent. We are valuable because we have been created in the image of God. And this world is bombarding us with propaganda. It teaches, if you just have that car, if you could just look like that person, if you could just wear those types of clothing, then you'll find value. I find the commercials on television to becoming more and more and more ridiculous. Here's how they go. They say, you want to be more attractive? You want to have more friends? You want to be more successful? You want to make more money? You want to be thinner, taller, all around better, happier person? Buy our gum. What? That's ridiculous. But they're not selling you on their gum or their product. Rather, they're selling you on an image. They're selling you on a value. They're saying you're not valuable unless you dot, dot, dot. But God says, come on, God says you are valuable because I say so. You are valuable because my image is upon you. You are valuable because I made you. And because our culture is drifting away from this idea that human life has value, instead we teach things like you have to be this athletic, you have to have this skin color, you have to have this hair color, you have to be this talented, you have to contribute this much, then you can be valuable. Church, we need to wake up. And we need to begin to teach the next generation that they are valuable because of the image that they carry. This fact that all human life has been created in the image of God is what separates us from animals. Animal life has some value, but human life has exponentially more value based on the fact that we were created in the image of God. Remember when I was talking about Genesis, God did something different when He created man. And in that difference is what makes us unique and is what makes mankind special and valuable to God. We can look back at the terrible events of genocide that took place in human history, and we can wonder, how could people be so evil? But if we as a society neglect the foundational truth that all human life has intrinsic value based on the fact that all human life is created in the image of God, then we are no better than those who committed such terrible acts of violence against their fellow man. Darwinian scientists who teach evolution are really teaching that men are no better than animals. It was this philosophy that spread like wildfire in Germany at the turn of the 20th century. This belief that man is nothing more than the highest link on an evolutionary chain is what set the stage for the Holocaust to take place in Nazi-occupied Europe. Children were taught that human life has no intrinsic value. The only way that you can become valuable is if you offer something to the state. This teaching gave rise to the term that the Nazis liked to use, useless eaters. This is what they called the Jewish population, the disabled, the elderly, any who they deemed to not have value, useless eaters. And once this ideology and this belief was entrenched in the minds of the population, the terrible acts of the Holocaust didn't seem so terrible. In fact, they marketed it as a good thing. We're preserving the human race by eliminating those who have no value, letting those only with value survive. Listen, guard what you believe. Guard what you believe. Your beliefs become your ideologies, and your ideologies influence the words and the language you use, and it influences the actions that you take. Guard what you believe. It's why it's so extremely important and foundational that we believe that all human life has value based on the fact that all human life has been created in the image of God. And once we understand this foundational truth of Scripture, once we understand that we carry the image of God in us, the next logical step in our journey to understanding is to know that we are His because He created us in His image. When Jesus held up the coin, He was saying, "Give to Caesar what's his." That coin, it has Caesar's image on it, meaning that it is his. Everyone can see that these shoes, they are Nikes because of the image that is on it. We should be able to look at another person and be able to see that they were created in the image of God, and therefore they are valuable because of the image that they carry. Jesus was implying that we are God's because He made us and because He placed His image on us. Therefore, we belong to Him and we should give ourselves fully to Him. Jesus' response to their trick question was, go ahead, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Go ahead, give to him this coin because it's only worth the image that is on it. But rather, give yourselves to God because you are far more valuable because of the image that is on you. You are an image bearer. We were created in the image of God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were created perfectly in God's image. But then they sinned against God. Theologians call this the marring of God's image. We have too sinned against God. And we have rejected His lordship and rule over our lives. Much like the Israelites, when they cried out to the prophet Samuel, they said, Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a real king. And Samuel took that request before the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me as their king. We too, when we sin, we take God off the throne of our lives and we put ourselves on it. We say, God, we don't want you as king, but rather we want to be like everybody else. We want to be king of our own lives. We want to be king and we reject His image. We reject it and we push it away. Mark Batterson, I love to listen to to Mark Batterson. He's a pastor in Washington, D.C., and one of the lines that he repeats quite often is that God created man in his image, and ever since we have been trying to recreate God in our image. Let us not do that this morning, but rather let us understand that because we were created in his image, we belong to him. We were created by God and for God with his image stamped upon our hearts, and yet we've rejected him. That's why we needed a savior. That's why God sent his son Jesus into the world, and he lived a life that I couldn't live. He died a death that only I deserved, and then he rose from the grave 3 days later, conquering death, hell, sin, and the grave. And this Easter, we're going to celebrate his resurrection. His resurrection. And our only response to this amazing gift that God has given us by sending his son to the cross, our only response can be to give ourselves fully and completely surrendered and devoted to him. Fully and completely. But Pastor, if we already have his image on us, if he's already given us value, don't we already belong to him? Then why did Jesus say, give to God what is God's? It doesn't make sense to give him what he already possesses. But we have fallen away from him. Sin has separated us from him. In the garden, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had relationship with God, but when they sinned, when they took of the forbidden fruit, what they did was they created a separation and a division between themselves and God. And we needed a Savior to restore us to that relationship. And I believe the book of Hosea offers a perfect illustration of how that works. I don't have time this morning to go into great depth or detail about the book of Hosea, but I would encourage you to read it if you have some time. But I'll just do a brief kind of overview of the book. Hosea was a prophet of God, and God spoke to Hosea. And Hosea spoke God's words to the people. And then one day, God came and he spoke to Hosea, and he told Hosea to marry a prostitute. And Hosea was obedient to the Lord, and he went and he married her. The Bible tells us that they had 3 children together. But then she left him and she went back to her former profession. She left. And the Bible tells us that Hosea went and he looked for her. He sought after her. And the Bible tells us that when he found her, he bought her back. He paid the price for her. But she was his wife. She was already his. But he paid the ransom. He paid for her. In this story, we are like Hosea's wife, and Hosea is an image of God. We, like her, have made our choice to choose sin, but God has gone after what was his. And God has said, because you carry my image, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to pay the ransom. I'm going to pay it. And Christ came and he bought us back and he freed us from the bondage that we willfully subjected ourselves to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 through 20 says this. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to him this morning because he made you. You belong to him this morning because he put his image upon you. And you belong to him this morning because he paid the price for you. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up this morning, if you would. And we're going to enter into a time of communion. But first, I just got a little bit more to share with you. I heard a story once about a little boy, a child, who he built a wooden boat. He was so proud of this boat. He took a pen and he wrote his name on the boat. And he took this boat and he thought, well, what good is a boat if it can't go out in the water? And so he took his boat and he took it out to the lake, but he got a really long string and he tied it onto the boat. He set his boat into the water and he was so proud watching his boat float out and float out and float out so far. He was so proud. Then he began to pull it back into him, but something happened. The string came untied. Instead of the boat being pulled back to shore, it floated off into the distance, kept floating farther and farther away. Sadly, the boy went home. A few days later, he was walking home from school when he passed a toy store. In the window of the toy store was his boat with his name on it. And quickly, he ran into the store and he went to the shopkeeper, the owner, and he said, "That's my boat. Can I have it?" And the shopkeeper said, "You have to pay for it." So the boy hung his head and he went home. But when he went home, he asked to do all the extra chores he could. He mowed his neighbor's grass. He even went to his uncle's store and he helped out and he saved till he had the money that he needed to go back to that toy store. And when he went back to the store, he presented the shopkeeper with all the money and he said, "Here, paid in full." The shopkeeper handed him his boat. Proudly, the boy left with the knowledge that that boat was now doubly his. It was his, firstly, because he made it, but now it was his because he also bought it. The same is true about you and I. We are doubly his, twice. He created us, and he bought us. He paid the price for us. Listen, salvation was not free. Your salvation cost Christ dearly, but because he suffered, you don't have to suffer. Because he was abandoned, you don't have to be abandoned. Because he was rejected, you don't have to be rejected. But because he was victorious on the third day, guess what? You get to be victorious. That's the gift of salvation. You get to share in the victory of Christ. This morning, if you have not given yourselves to him, if you have yet to surrender your heart, if you have yet to respond to the fact that you have been created in his image, if you have yet to say, "Lord, I was created for you and by you, but I ran from you. God, and I need to repent. I need to come to you and ask for your forgiveness. God, because I rejected your lordship, your kingship over my life. God, I rejected you, but now I want to turn to you." This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, with no one looking around, if you would say, "Pastor, I would like to give my heart fully to the Lord this morning. I'd like to surrender all that I have fully to him." If you would say that this morning, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? Just slip your hand up. I see those hands. Just slip it up. Yes. Now we're going to pray. Church, come on. Let's all pray together with those who raised their hands this morning. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Father, thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me. Thank you that you saw that I was worth sending your son to die for. Lord, I'm sorry. I have rejected you. I have followed my own path. Now I turn from that and I turn to you. I give my heart fully to you this morning. In Christ's mighty name, we pray, amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, somebody, give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. The Bible says, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Amen. There's freedom in this place because He is here. He is here. This morning you're His because He made you. You're His because He put His image upon you. And you're His because He paid the price for you. He bought you. You were bought with a price.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.